This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Curtis Watkins has spent the last 11 years in prison. He's there because a St. Louis police officer identified him as the culprit in a 2013 shooting. After a trial, a jury found Watkins guilty and sentenced him to 25 years. But Watkins has always maintained his innocence, and it turns out there were some important details missing from his trial, and they concerned that police officer, Steven Pinkerton. A new investigation from Missouri Independent has uncovered new details about the case. The findings raise questions about the credibility of Steven Pinkerton, including an incident in which he mistakenly arrested an innocent man, a man who later died after being placed in a chokehold. In addition, the report uncovered Pinkerton's history of insulting Black people on social media. Here to talk about those findings and what they could mean for Curtis Watkins is Clara Bates, reporter for the Missouri Independent. Clara, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Clara, before we get into what you found out about Steven Pinkerton, remind us how we got here. You write that in 2013, Curtis Watkins had five kids, and he had another on the way, and two jobs. One was driving a Frosty's Treats ice cream truck, and the other was working at Popeyes. How important was the testimony of this St. Louis police officer, Steven Pinkerton?
The testimony was everything. The prosecutor in the case acknowledged that it was the only evidence connecting Curtis Watkins to the crime. I should mention briefly, the crime took place a night in 2013, just an argument that was building among a group of young men escalated into a shootout. The officer, Steven Pinkerton, was in a nearby alley. He didn't see the victim get shot, but a few minutes later, a man ran through the alley, and Pinkerton laid eyes on him for a few seconds, couldn't determine his age or distinguishing characteristics yet. Based solely on that account, a few seconds in an alleyway, Curtis Watkins has been incarcerated for 11 years, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. How confident was Pinkerton in his identification? And I mean, was there any reason at all for doubt?
He said he was 100% confident. Watkins says that he was walking, it was his neighborhood, that he was walking from a friend's house to a convenience store to buy liquor that night, and that's why he was in the area when other police officers arrested him and brought him to Pinkerton in the back of a police van. Pinkerton peered in with a flashlight and said, yes, it's the same man I just saw in the alley. There is a lot of evidence that that kind of eyewitness identification in general is not ideal, that a lineup would be better, and that having more distinguishing characteristics is more reliable. But regardless of that identification, like you mentioned, we found other evidence that could have cast doubt on Pinkerton that the jury never heard.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to return to that, but there's also what was said by the victim of the shooting and his family members, right?
Right. None of the witnesses to the crime, so the victim who was shot and hospitalized for several weeks, his family members who were there, they all said that they didn't know who Watkins was and they didn't identify him as a shooter. And remember, the officer didn't see the victim get shot. He saw a man run with a gun through an alleyway a few minutes later. So none of the other witnesses placed him there. Watkins says he didn't know any of the people involved, that he didn't have a motive. There was no forensic evidence tying him to the crime. It really was the word of the officer against his.
Mm-hmm. Now, Clara, your investigation, it made two key findings, and one of them involved the police work of Steven Pinkerton, especially when that work involved Black suspects, and one particular case, that is, it led to the death of an innocent man named Kerwin Harris. What is it that happened in the case of Kerwin Harris?
Yeah, I'll just note quickly that the appellate attorney's arguments in Watkins' previous appeals have argued that his trial lawyer was ineffective because he didn't call witnesses who would have said that he wasn't at the shooting. So that has been the line of appeal so far. What we found was that Pinkerton had a history the defense never knew about and Watkins' appellate attorney didn't know about. Less than a year before he arrested Watkins, Officer Pinkerton arrested a man he saw in a parking lot he mistakenly believed was the suspect in an earlier robbery, Kerwin Harris. He chased him, tackled him to the ground, held him face down in a chokehold, and Harris died at the scene. The robbery case remains open. He wasn't the right person. Mm-hmm. And we have another story coming out about Harris's death tomorrow, actually.
Okay. As far as the way Harris met his death, there had something to do with a neck restraint, right?
Yeah, he was held in a carotid artery restraint by Officer Pinkerton, which was at that point banned by the department because of its danger. It involves trying to knock someone unconscious for a few seconds, but can be really dangerous if held for longer. And Pinkerton held it for 15 to 20 seconds. And Harris was also in prone position on his stomach with pressure on his back. So all of those factors could have contributed to his death. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have more information on that tomorrow.
Right. Clara, the second finding that your investigation came to, it concerned the social media posts of Stephen Pinkerton, including posts that he made before and after Watkins' trial in 2015. What did those posts show?
Some of the early posts said things like, quote, black people are pathetic, unquote, and, quote, having negative feelings about someone or a subgroup of certain people is different than treating them differently because of it, which I do not, unquote. So there are several that go as far back as 2015, and the trial that convicted Watkins was in 2016. There are also more recent Facebook posts that I found online continuing to post on a great He continued to post denigrating comments about black people, and he said online that he was, quote, forced out of the St. Louis Police Department for his comments about the murder of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the St. Louis Police Department can't release personnel information, but Pinkerton says several times online that he was forced out for that analysis.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Pinkerton then had some realization or understanding that the posts he made did not make a very good case for him as far as these allegations of racism. Did he have, you know, any expression of regret or remorse for these posts, or did he just continue to stand by them?
He didn't respond to calls and emails and certified letters. We tried to get in touch with him. But I can say from, what I read online that they do seem to have continued late last year, earlier this year. And even though he left the St. Louis Police Department in 2021, you know, under what circumstances, we don't exactly know, although mm-hmm. his posts suggest maybe it had something to do with his posts, as does an Ethical Society of Police report that was published in 2020. So even though he left the department, then he is still employed as a licensed police officer. Since 2021, he's worked in an exurb of St. Louis called Moscow Mills, which is, I think, 40 miles away, a small town. Mm-hmm. And so he's still an active employee there. And yeah, as I mentioned just a few months ago, I think over the summer, he was again posting denigrating comments about black people.
Right. And I think to put a finer point on how long he was with St. Louis Metro Police, he was there for 24 years. I mean, did you get some sense of whether he faced discipline in any of those 24 years for the kinds of, you know, personal views he was expressing, whether they were online only or in other situations?
It's hard to know. In Missouri, those kind of personnel records aren't available by Sunshine Request, even though I think they are in some other states, the police disciplinary records. So we can't quite know for sure. But like you said, we know that he stuck around. You know, he kept his job after the death of Kerwin Harris in 2012. So yeah, he did remain there for quite a while. We don't know exactly why he left. Although, like I mentioned, he suggested, I think in one post he said, quote unquote, "I was told my words could have started a riot," unquote, related to George Floyd and his death, and his posting about his doubts that George Floyd was murdered.
Now, you spoke, Clara, with a number of legal experts in the course of your investigation, and the fact that these details about Pinkerton weren't part of the trial, could that help Watkins make his case for innocence, one that actually he has been making for some time?
His lawyer is going to try to include the new evidence that we found in his next appeal in federal court, a federal habeas petition that he plans to file next month. And the law, you know, under the U.S. Supreme Court's Brady decision in 1963 requires prosecutors to notify defense attorneys of these kind of credibility issues with witnesses when they could materially affect the case, the outcome of it. And the experts I spoke to said in a case like this, when there's just a one witness identification, the whole case hinges on that one witness. So the credibility of the witness is the whole case. So some experts do think that it could be compelling to add this information, that it could be compelling because a jury based, you know, whose decision was based solely on the officer's testimony might have reached a different conclusion, but we'll wait and see what happens in court. And Watkins' lawyer also plans to try to engage with the Conviction Integrity Unit in St. Louis and submit this information to them as well to try to get them to review the case.
Is there anything in particular, Clara, that has happened recently that sparked your interest in beginning this investigation? And how long did you spend sort of digging into the story before it was published, I think just today?
Yeah, I heard about it earlier this year from Watkins' attorney. I think in late January, he had been facing some frustrating for him denials of their appeals, which, as I mentioned at that point, were based on the argument Watkins' trial lawyer was ineffective for failing to call witnesses who could have said he wasn't at the shooting. One of the court decisions argued in part because of because the lawyer had failed to submit evidence properly that they were denying the appeal. So I was speaking to his lawyer about that, and then I just started digging into the case more broadly and found this information that his lawyers hadn't known about, decided it was worth some more time, read thousands of pages of court and police records, and submitted almost 100 records requests. So yeah, I've been working on it for months, sort of on and off since February.
And just a correction, the story was published over the weekend. Now, Stephen Pinkerton's actions as a police officer impacted these two specific cases, one of Kerwin Harris, who died, and Curtis Watkins, who spent more than a decade in prison on a 25-year sentence. But Clara, you note in your story that both the family of Harris and Watkins did not know about these details, specifically that Pinkerton was openly posting racist things on social media, and that he had made these two misidentifications of Black men in a fairly short window of time. What was it like to share this information with Kerwin Harris's family and Curtis Watkins? What was their response?
I think in both cases, they were pretty taken aback. In terms of Kerwin Harris, the family just never knew the details about how he died. And again, we have another story coming out about that tomorrow, which I would encourage people to read. But yeah, it was an interesting position to be put in, to be telling Harris's family 12 years after the fact what had exactly happened. They had never seen the police report or the autopsy report, so they were pretty taken aback and saw it as excessive use of force. In terms of Watkins, I think similarly, Watkins and his wife were surprised by the posts and that it seemed, you know, Pinkerton had continued as an officer without seeming discipline, and that, you know, yeah, he had gone on then to arrest Watkins. I think that was all pretty shocking to them. But yeah, we'll see what happens now that it'll appear in the court of law in a petition next month.
Mm-hmm. And we'll look forward to reading your story tomorrow, Clara. Clara Bates is a reporter for the Missouri Independent. Thank you so much for joining our show today.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wissentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.